Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Today is Tuesday, June 17th, 2014. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. We're talking about hoppy Belgian beers. We've got a new friend in, Nathan from Bitter Old Fecker in Michigan. So first, Brendan Woodcock, my good buddy, you're working at Torst, and you're trying for the Cicerone Masters. That's coming up. As part of your job today, you're going to be pouring every beer, and it's part of the test.
Yeah, you're putting
for
me
the Cicerones. But it's a pretty tough program, and just getting the Cicerones certified alone is tough. What do you have, like, this rigorous training program? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I got to run up the art museum stairs and box big slabs of meat. No, it's actually for me. I guess everybody that goes into the program has different strengths and weaknesses, and for me, it's actually one of my weaknesses is blind tasting. So that's where I've been focusing a lot of energy. A couple other certified Cicerones. One guy, James, you're familiar with, has been sort of leading the way, and it's really been for me. Blind tasting it's deductive, and so it helps me to have a rubric. So I've just come up with, all right, there's like 10 points that I'm going to pay attention to before I have any thought about what beer I'm drinking. The program in general, just at the certified Cicerone level, it still tries to cover the entire beer industry, so to speak, everything from production process to, draft line balance to beer and food pairings, to beer styles, and includes off flavors. And then at the master level, I'm finding out that it encompasses that, but then just way, way deeper down the rabbit hole. So, yeah, and I guess I would say rigorous. It's funny, the questions that you ask at the, level one, which is beer server, are kind of like exploratory, and you're getting familiar with the territory, and then at the certified level you finally have a grasp at it, and people start calling you an expert, and you realize that the only thing that you're an expert at is knowing what you don't know, and that is vast. So I'm just if we're talking about hoppy Belgians today, I'm gonna pull up all the different material that I can find about noble hops, European hops, differences in the hop regions in Belgium and what they're growing and whatnot, and what the story is behind the beer, because it might be a question about what's the alpha acid range of a brewer's gold, right? But it might also be like, what's the story of a Puppering Sommel Ale?
So we're giving him a chance to unload a little bit of the knowledge. I saw you last week. You were James Ty at Jimmy's Number 43, and he was blind tasting you. And I'm looking forward to hanging out with you on the show tonight. Thanks, man. A new guest. This is a guy, I want to call him Nathan Fecker, but it's Nathan Hukel. He's from Bitter Old Fecker Brewing in Chelsea, Michigan. Welcome to the show, Nathan.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you have a pretty good story. You make beer in a rustic setting.
Rustic setting and rustic style, rustic kind of approach, kind of both in mentality and actual brewing, kind of brewing.
What do you do when you make beer? I mean, we're going to get your whole story tonight, but a typical brew day, are you doing everything by hand? Are you welding equipment as needed?
Basically, it's a little bit like working on a farm almost, I handle as much of the process as possible, and that has included making some of my own pieces of equipment. My mash tun I actually fabricated the false bottom for it, which was kind of a mistake in a way, because it turned out to be a really a lot of labor. But the actual, you know, the actual brewing process too, it's, you know, it's very, very hands-on from start to finish.
Yeah, no, it's a good story. What's your website?
It's drinkoldfecker.com.
No, it's cool. You got some cool videos. There's a lot of farmy stuff going on. Looking forward to trying your beer today also on the show. And one of the sub-themes of the show is about hoppy Belgian beers. You know, that Omegang and Duvel, they put out like the Duvel Triple Hop, and they have Hoblon Schoof. And we're thinking, Brendan and I were talking last week, so what are some of the other beers that represent, you know, this traditional Belgian style? Or is there a traditional Belgian style with hoppy beers? Because everyone talks about IPAs. And I think all this year we've been trying to say, hey, let's go back to Belgium and look at some of the classic styles. So we've got two guys here from Global Imports who handle Poperinghe's Hommel, which is one of my favorite Belgian hoppy beers. Sean Stefanian. You can say your name if I don't say it right.
Stepanian.
And Dan Lehman, some Global Beer. So tell me a little bit about the Poperinghe Hommel and, you know, that aspect of Belgium.
Well, actually, I had the opportunity to go to Belgium for the first time a month ago and got to see, you know, the brewery and got to see the region where they grow the hops and everything. The background of the beer is actually really cool. So they get the hops from the town of Poperinghe, which is where they grow 75% of the hops in Belgium. So you have the widest variety of hops there, and they use a wide range of different aroma hops. And what they did was, in 1970, in the region, they had about six different breweries operating, and they decided to have they were having a hop festival they have every 3 years, triennial hop festival, and they decided they would have a competition between all the breweries that were operating to see who could brew the best beer with the hops from the Poperinghe region. And Van Eck Brewery, which makes Poperinghe's Hommel, was already kind of brewing a beer that was very similar to this, and they decided to like just kind of kick it up a notch a little bit and came out with what is now known as Poperinghe's Hommel beer. They decided to do they won that year's competition. They decided to do it again, I think, the next festival which is 3 years later, and they won again, and they did it again for the next festival, and three times in a row Poperinghe's Hommel beer came out as the number one beer. So they decided that, you know what, this is going to be the best beer from this region made out of these hops, and they've been making it ever since. And it's just a great background, great beer, just really nice hop variety.
So let's go through, let's taste some of my beers, and we'll talk a little bit about them. So Brendan, the first beer that you brought?
Oh, yeah, it's from Brasserie de la Seine, just out of Brussels. It's Taras Bulba. At Terst, it's one of our favorites. We try to squirrel it away whenever we get it. But, yeah, it's a Session Blonde. It's around 4.5%. They label it as extra hoppy. Like many Belgian beers, it has a cool story. The label has this burly man, you know, throwing a barrel or about to throw a barrel at someone he's calling a fool, and that appears to be his son. I guess it's the story is, you know, taken from a Russian
Ukrainian folktale.
Ukrainian folktale, and I think that the story actually sort of syncs up with the beer because they're taking it and interpreting it, saying that the son is Flemish and he married a Wallonian girl, so it's almost as if the you know, the hoppy or straightforward style that Flanders might have inherited from England, so to speak, meets Wallonia, which is Saison territory. So it's kind of a blend in the beer itself. But I don't know. I like the story aspect.
Nathan, have you had this beer before?
No, this is the first time I've had it.
So are you familiar with like hoppy Belgian beers?
A fair amount. Yeah, I've had a few. Actually, right before I came out here, I had the Poperinghe's Hommel beer for probably the third time, I think.
So what's the scene like? So you're in Chelsea, Michigan. Where's that?
It's basically on the west side of Ann Arbor. It's the next town over, about 10 minutes outside of Ann Arbor.
And there's a good beer scene there.
Ann Arbor is good, yeah, absolutely. Chelsea, I'm actually kind of the second brewery in Chelsea. There's another place that is downtown Chelsea, the Chelsea Ale House, that they're kind of more of a tap room and thing, yeah, that sort of thing. Whereas I'm just kind of a secret production facility that nobody can find.
You're on the farm. Can people visit you? Do you have a tasting room?
We actually don't have a tasting room right now. Like I said, it's just kind of my secret location. Which, you know, we are open to having visitors and stuff too, but yeah.
So we should just watch the videos and buy your beer, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, tell us about your buddy does the labels and he made the video.
Right, that's Keith Neltner. He is an artist out of Camp Springs, Kentucky. I've been a big fan of his for a bunch of years. He did a lot of work for, and continues to do a lot of work for different musicians. A lot of outlaw scene country artists like Hank Williams III and Shooter Jennings, and I've been a fan of that music, and so kind of therefore a fan of his as well. And I was lucky enough to somehow trick him into doing our labels too.
Oh, cool. And for you guys, Sean, what do you guys think about the Taurus Bulba?
I think it's really nice, very sessionable, really mellow, you know, good balance to it. It's not overly hopped. It's not incredibly strong in the hop forward. It just kind of comes to you slowly, which is nice. You know, it kind of approaches you quietly. It doesn't overwhelm
you. Is there anything
unique
about, and Dan, you can jump, anything unique about the Belgian beers that are using hops? Is it different?
Yeah, I mean,
American?
I think,
or could this be an American beer?
I think that in general, you have two types of hop beers coming out of Belgium, and you have ones that are influenced purely by the American market, and we have Troubadour Magma, which is a Simcoe hopped IPA, Parrot Triple Hops, Cascade hopped. You know, Belgians are all about balance. It's the same thing in the wine world. You know, California reds are bold and tanniny and in your face, and French wines are smooth and silky and balanced, and both have their place. So the Belgian hop beers are kind of like that, and that they approach you with the balance, you know. So, you know, for Poperinck Tommel, for example, they're brewing with Challenger, Hallertau, East Kent Goldings, and, you know, makes very mild beer.
Let's try the Poperinck Tommel. And then I also brought Hoblon Schoof. And from Omegang Duval and the Duval Triple Hop. Have you had that? Any of those beers, Brendan? Have you had the new Duval Triple Hop?
I haven't had this year's. So the story with that is every year they change what they dry hop it with. So they call it the Triple Hop. I think it's a play with triple, you know, Golden Strong is similar there. But also they do... Sorry, you got me doing two
Everybody
things at once talking.
That's
beer,
part of the test you're practicing for the yeah. Master Cicerone exam.
I got to
ask you questions. You got to keep pouring beer, Brendan. Come on.
Multitask here. I think they... Do we have an empty here? They do the bittering hop edition originally with one hop, then they do the...
He's doing great. He's pouring beer and he's trying to talk and he's answering a tough question.
And the aromatic and then the dry hop is the third hop. So this year they used the Mosaic.
That's great. We're gonna try the Duval Triple Hop tonight on the show too. All right, so this is the Poperinck Tommel. So you guys tell us about this. It was a sleeper. I'd never heard of it, and a few years ago I started carrying it and I always like it.
Yeah, I mean it's a fantastic beer. For us it's funny, it's been a challenge getting this beer into the market because a lot of people's expectations for what a hoppy beer are citrusy and grapefruit. And you know, it's a great example of kind of the more floral, elegant qualities of hops, which I think are as virtuous as the bold and bitter. So it's something that we continue to work on and try to educate people. So thank you for having us and give us an opportunity to put this out there. And it is in its own right a testament to hops, and you know, we're very happy with it.
I think the one thing that I just want to put out there to make sure people know, because I come across this all the time, people want to know how to categorize this beer. And a lot of times I think it gets mislabeled as a Belgian IPA. I would never put this down as a Belgian IPA just because of the fact that when you get an IPA, when you're expecting a certain flavor profile out of an IPA, you kind of want the bitterness of the hop. You want, you know, a different kind of sharpness in that flavor, and you don't get that from the Poperinck Tommel. So, you know, as long as you go in knowing what you're getting a really balanced, aromatic beer. You know, you're getting a really good flavor, a really nice kind of grassy herbal note to it also, but it's not going to, you know, knock you like an American IPA, like a West Coast IPA might. So you're not getting that expectation out of it, but you got to go into it knowing what you're going to be drinking.
Well, Brendan, you're taking notes because you might be surprised, because since we're talking about the Master Cicerone exam, I know there's like Don Littlefield from Van Bergen DeWolf. There's this core group. Is Randy Mosier part of that? Like, who's going to actually examine you? Because a lot of like one-on-one. It's pretty challenging.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm supposed to know. Randy is certainly active in at least some of the grading, some of the testing as well. There are some others I've heard, some names floating around, even Garrett Oliver, you know, Charlie Bamforth. A few others. I know the other Master Cicerones are active in it. I'll be taking it in October in California, so I know Nicole Ernie is probably in play.
Some good people. One time a few years ago, we talked to Charlie Bamforth on the air. He's a professor at UC Davis, and he's a big expert on yeasts, which is one area I don't even want to go to.
But I mean, we're in that territory. This is Belgian beer, right? And you know, he's also, I was listening to him today actually talk about hops, and you know, connecting back to what we were saying earlier about there kind of being two types of Belgian IPA, quote unquote. You've got the ones that are made with American hops with that kind of intention, and then you've got sort of the older school that wouldn't even really be IPA-ish. They're just hoppy, you know. One thing we didn't mention about the Hommel ale is Hommel just means hops, right, in the local dialect.
And Pop Rings means Pop Rings.
It literally means the hop beer from Pop Ring. It's very simple.
And the variety, I believe, on that is they have Brewer's Gold for bittering, which is like 8 to 10% alpha acid, compared to, say, you'd have like a Bravo or a Mosaic, which might be up around like 14%, and those would be the ones making or Simcoe. You know, those are the ones making the big West Coast hops. That we have that harsh, clean bitterness from. So this is like slightly less bitter, and then they focus on the aromatic, which are going to be the Hallertau, which is the other hop grown in that region, and so that's going to give you some of the spicy, floral, zingy kind of aromatic notes.
Awesome. We got a good start. We got all our guests in place. We're back in a few minutes on a Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
So, you like good beer. Whether you're a craft beer pro or just had your first sip of an IPA, GreatBrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. GreatBrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, GreatBrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile Beer Cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit GreatBrewers.com today.
You are listening to Leaving by Dead Stars here on the Heritage Radio Network.org.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. So we're talking to Brandon Woodcock, who's going for his master's in Cicerone. We've got Nathan Hukel from Fester's Old Fester. What's the name of your brewery? I want to call him Nathan Fecker, but it's a little complicated. Nathan Hukel from Bitter Old Fecker.
That's right.
And we got Dan Shahan from Global Beer, who brought Pop Rings home. So we're talking a little bit about some Belgian beers. Crazy Patrick Donahue is here from Fool's Gold NYC. We're going to talk to him later about his new bar in New York City. But right now, let's go to you, Nathan. We were talking about IPAs, the difference between Belgian, American IPAs, yeast. So tell us a little bit about your... Let's get deep now. Let's go into your brewing process and some of the ingredients that you use, okay? Welcome, Patrick, buddy. I had a bet that you weren't going to come today.
I totally forgot about it. I'm World Cup.
I have to buy Justin a beer.
Drinking all day and watching the World Cup.
So basically, the kind of the overall rundown of the approach that I'm using is we do exclusively U.S. grown malts and hops, and it's kind of styles that aren't necessarily unfamiliar, but with the addition of kind of some non-traditional ingredients that are kind of meant to complement the style itself. Like right now, we're having this. What is our?
So what's in it? Tell us, like, What did you make? What hops? What grain?
This one here, the Strutter that we're having right now, which is actually, this is about a year on right now. So it, you know, the majority of the aroma hops have faded at this point, and it's kind of morphed into something else. But this one actually is, there's actually a bit of rye in it as well, and I think I want to say there's about 12 varieties of hops in it originally, which may be a little over the top.
You're loading it up. So I assume your backstory is okay. Now I'm gonna get to the backstory.
Sure.
So your people in your family used to make beer, sometimes in prohibitions. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah,
seems to be a big part of your story.
Yeah. My actually, my great grandparents in living in Detroit were bootleggers. During Prohibition, they would drive over the river over to Canada and smuggle booze back, and then they had a blind pig out of their basement that they ran. That the majority of their clientele, as far as I understand, was Detroit police. and at the same time, my grandmother also brewed beer out of the kitchen. She worked at a brickyard and would brew beer and take it to the guys that she worked with there.
So where did you work before you opened your own brewery?
Grizzly Peak was in Ann Arbor, was my other bit of sort of more professional experience with brewing, working under the great and knowledgeable Duncan Williams. Went through the Williams School of Brewing there.
And you were talking about you try to get ingredients that might not necessarily be used together before and create like somewhat new flavor profiles. I just got a handle on the bottle. I've had pouring responsibility, so I didn't get to look before, but this is a barrel-aged IPA we're drinking with chamomile, rose petals, and juniper.
Right.
That's kind of crazy. And it's totally aromatic.
Yeah, everything that we do is out of barrels, 100%. And kind of the idea, generally speaking, with the extra ingredients, the kind of non-traditional ingredients, is to find something that complements the style. I mean, I would say in an IPA, probably more specifically in an American IPA, you could get notes of juniper or rose petals or chamomile. And so kind of the idea is to just put those in there and kind of actually give that a little bit of a boost. And I think also, as this beer ages, as the hops fade out, you kind of are left with some of those more herbal components, and they kind of start to come out a little bit more
as time goes on. It seems to almost be going in the direction of like an American barley wine or something.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's great, man. It's almost like you're cooking, right?
yeah, that's kind of how I think of it.
It made sense to me. It says that your brewery is like, it's rustic. It could operate without electricity if it had to.
It could, yeah. I mean, you know, obviously I don't necessarily choose to do it that way. I do have pumps and, you know, kind of some of the typical things that most people have, but it's actually kind of set up in a way that it literally could run without electricity.
Yeah, so how many barrels do you have?
At the moment I have 8 barrels that I'm working with, and we're actually in the process of kind of expanding into a second space that's within our building, where we're going to add probably about 3 times as many barrels from there.
So it's pretty special. Do you sell in New York City?
No, we don't sell
in
New York.
So you just came here today to meet us. And your friend Jack.
Yeah, exactly. I'll take
person
any excuse that I can to come to New York.
So you just reached out to Justin and Jacqueline, you want to come to New York.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
That's great, man.
Well, there'll be some New York folks that want to try to acquire your beer, I'm sure. That'll
We gotta get Patrick on now, because you can't let Patrick. So Patrick Donner, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, Jimmy.
You know, you helped open the Rattle and Hum, and then Alewife and Jeffrey, and now the Fool's Gold. I've been there a couple times.
I have 3 now.
Come on, close. So the big joke is you're always working so hard. Last time I saw you, you were on the Bowery picking glasses right before you opened.
That's right. It was the day over thing.
So before we talk about your new bar, some of the beers today, do you carry Pop Rings Hommel or Tyrus Bulba or Duranky XX? Because I know you always have great beers.
I carry Duranc and Tyrus Bulba. And my favorite Belgian breweries are, I don't know if they're all here, but Duranc, Bink, De La Seine, Cantillon. Those are my top 4 favorite breweries of all time, I think.
And are you doing... imports at Fool's Gold or just
American? Bottles
yeah,
bottles. Well, in draft, I carry Taurus Bulba and XX Bitter as much as possible. Like, they're my favorite beers. They're my desert island beers.
Yeah.
And I've always, ever since I can remember shouting, bringing them in, always pouring them.
Good stuff. So what was it like opening Fool's Gold? It took
nightmare.
You a while.
It took us a while. It was a really cold winter, so we couldn't work for 3 months. I couldn't get the contractors to do anything because it was freezing. And every time we poured concrete, it would crack. And we just had to wait until it got a little bit warmer. And then we started bringing in big heaters, industrial heaters, like jet fuel heaters. And that started working a little bit. And then once the good weather came, we really went at it. Or as soon as it went up like 5 degrees, we're like, all right, now it's time to work. So we got everybody in and we put it together pretty quick. Like, I used a lot of, I would go to Brooklyn and like just raid somehow like old construction zones and steal stuff from there, like metal and like tin ceiling stuff and lumber. And we put it all together. We spent time just cleaning it up and putting it together. So nothing really, we bought nothing new for the whole bar except for a computer system. Everything else, like I had a refrigerator in storage for 4 years that we used as a walk-in cooler. It's like 10 foot by 18 foot long. So that was good to get out of storage for a while.
Yeah, it's good to have him. Congratulations for getting open.
Thank you.
Been there a couple times. We liked it.
Yeah,
let's talk about Belgian beer and stuff. So this guy's from Michigan. He came all the way to New York City. So you guys want to say anything about his beer? Because we got
I personally Dan loved it. Shana. I thought, obviously, you're saying the hops faded. I'm getting like a little cinnamon on it for some reason, but it definitely it's very juicy. So I think almost the hops dying down brings it to a whole other level of balance.
There is some Belgian yeast in there. That's one of the things that we do is that, I guess that I do, is the batches are split up and fermented with different strains of yeast before they go into the barrels, before they get blended into the barrels. And the beer that you're drinking right now is actually a blend of, I think, 4 different American yeast and 3 different Belgian yeast. So it could be a little bit of where the cinnamon's coming from.
It's beautiful.
Okay. You know, like Brandon, so at Taurus and Patrick at Fool's Gold and Jeffrey, so he doesn't sell in New York yet, but he might. So how would he go about getting placed in your bars on the beer list?
Bootleg first.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
That's easy.
Like
done.
That, that's
we take road trips all the time. Obviously not, lawyers.
You're talking about the 3-tier system and distribution really excites some people here.
The TTB, I hope the TTB is not listening.
Deniability is out the window.
Yeah, but would you sell in New York? I mean, is it worth it for you? I mean, you're making a small amount of beer.
Mm-hmm.
You mostly sell it. Do you sell it to out of your farmhouse, or do you actually?
No, we actually go through a distributor. We actually have a common friend through our distributor in Ann Arbor, which is Rave and Associates.
His name is Michigan Rick, and he's awesome. Look him up. He has his own TV series on YouTube.
Sounds like a bootlegger right off the bat.
So we do go through a distributor, and we actually are about to kind of go through, relatively speaking, a kind of a large expansion for us, and so there will definitely be some options for, you know, kind of reaching beyond Michigan.
What kind of feedback did you get on this particular beer? Because I know when you barrel age something, obviously it takes time,
sure.
And if you're putting something out there as an IPA, you know, the traditional association is people want it as fresh as possible. I know Michigan's big on IPA, you know. Too hard, it is huge. They just came to New York recently. So did you get any feedback? Like, people said it wasn't hoppy enough? Or
well, I did actually dry hop it in the barrels right up until it was bottled. I think I did kind of a two-stage dry hopping right before it was bottled. So it was, I think it was fairly aromatic when it was still a bit more fresh. But we did kind of get... I think some people were a little bit confused about it, as far as, you know, with the different herbs that are in it and with the combination of the hops and with the barrel, kind of some of the barrel characteristics that are in there.
Was it bourbon barrel?
Right, rip.
You can taste the roundness of it from the bourbon barrel. Like, I think this here isn't just tasting with the aromatics coming off of, like, rose petals and everything else. You know, when you have, I get a lot of first-time drinkers coming into my bar, mm-hmm. and then... they're hit with like a big beer menu, like a Taurus, and mm-hmm. And then we have some big IPAs on. But this here is kind of like a very flavorful IPA. It's not just based on hops, but it's like giving you an entry to, you know, with the flower aroma of it, And then you can taste that throughout the beer too. So it's not just pure bitter when you're drinking. You got the roundness of the barrel and everything else coming through, which I think is a great. I think you could nearly see a trend as a starting for IPA drinkers, for first timers getting into IPAs. Then they'll go further on there for just their bitterness. You know, the IBAs sure. will go off the charts, but this year it's blanketed with everything you've added to it. And I think it works. I think it's great.
Thank you.
Brendan, want to pop the Dranky XX?
Sure.
We're going to go get a new beer from Sheldon Brothers, and we're going to be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Like what you hear so far? Support the network and become a member. Membership helps us bring you the best food radio in the world and gives you access to thousands of dollars in discounts at the sustainably minded businesses that support us. To become a member, visit heritageradionetwork.org today.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We've got quite a crew here today. Let's give a shout out. July Good Beer Month is coming up. Our friends at Coney Island on tap will be July 12th at Brooklyn Cyclones Park in Coney Island. Check it out, Coney Island on tap. It's a good beer festival for July Good Beer Month. All right, so here we are. We got Brandon Woodcock. All right.
Cheers.
Patrick Donaher.
Cheers.
Nathan from Fecker.
Cheers.
And
I love that name, Fecker.
Yeah, it's good, right?
Fecker, yeah.
Sean and Dan from Poperings Hommel. You just call yourselves Poperings Hommel.
Well, that makes it easier.
We're tasting some Belgian style beers and some new beers from Michigan with Nathan. So what do you guys think? We popped the Dranky XX. It's some people, it's their favorite beer in the world. It's one of my favorites. How does this compare to the other Belgian beers we've had so far, Brandon?
Yeah, you know, I would say just in comparison, it tastes a little more bitter, right? A little bit cloying. There's some astringency in the back. It's nice, actually. You know, doing a little research on it, it seems that they use the same varieties of hop as the Hommel ale. But what I think sort of separates it is the yeast seems to have fermented it a little bit more cleanly. At least from a couple of sips, that's
Durank actually use whole leaf hops all year round, and they buy the one batch of beer or the one batch of hops, and they keep it, refrigerated all year round. So throughout the course of the year, you see, like, you know, the bitterness of the hops and the flavorful of, like, the later batches you get throughout the year will be not as bitter throughout the year, and they'll not
evolve,
be as
yeah. It's more like wine.
So I was over there and I seen, like, this massive big cooler refrigerator full to the brim of hops, and, like, they're only halfway through. So they make a lot of beer, but they won't make beer with anything else but whole leaf hops.
I like that. I like that in a brewery. I mean, it's too nice. You start them at the beginning of the year. They're one way, and
it's a big check
change.
All at once.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, we were talking about.
I mean, check for the hops.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's a big bill one time a year.
You know, I think one of the ideas that we were floating around was how there's this conception of, like, American beers are the hoppy ones, and Belgium can't do hoppy beers or something like that. You know, like, there's the sort of mainstream conception that Belgian beers are just going to be like almost yeast forward and yeast focused and somewhat sweet. You know, you got the candy sugar thing. But seeing Belgian producers pay attention to hop storage and focus on hops, not just the bittering, but also, you know, in the aromatic sense, it's pretty cool. And I was thinking also, we were talking earlier about, you know, in the States, we could kind of go anywhere with the breweries, right? Because we had Prohibition, and then we had World War II, and then we had sort of like hyper-industrialization of everything. So it was kind of like a blank slate. And in Belgium, you know, when they were dry hopping Orval in like 1934, you know, the consumers got used to that palate. And the hop storage back then didn't have the benefit of refrigeration or freezers. So the alpha acids in the hops were getting exposed to oxygen and losing some of their bitterness. And so the primary bitterness that you would get was actually from beta acids. Being exposed to oxygen and then just forming slightly less bitter compounds.
You're really studying for this test, aren't you?
I was going to say the same thing.
I was able to say that because I wasn't pouring a beer. Yeah.
Well, it's pretty funny, though. If you look at the course that hops took to get to England, it actually went from Germany to Flanders and then Flanders to England. So the road to bitter beer is definitely stopped in Belgium pretty early, which is pretty cool.
Absolutely. And if you look at like the hop bills of the traditional Belgian beers, it's really high. And here you have a brewery that kind of got their start, and this beer in particular, I think 1994, around the same time that Lagunitas IPA comes on the scene. And they're doing exactly the same thing. They're just throwing a lot of hops at it and making a bitter product. So it's sort of contradicts that mainstream perception of what Belgians are.
Years ago, Dan Shelton said that when they made Duranky XX, they were trying to make the beer that they used to make in Belgium before the World War I. So, I mean, is that the same thing with Parpering's Homel? I mean, is it a traditional style?
Like the same story you were just saying.
Yeah.
As far as a traditional style, I don't know exactly how to categorize.
Well, it's funny. We've had this trouble. Actually, someone mentioned TTB earlier, and we're going to try to resubmit Parpering's Homel as a strong pale ale, and they said, no, you can't use the word strong. God forbid we set a proper expectation for a beer. But, that's something that we've worked pretty hard on doing. But
muscular pale ale.
What's up?
A muscular pale ale.
Yeah, definitely. Muscular, I like that. But, traditional, it definitely, this particular beer, Poppering's Hommel, dates back to 1970. So, in the grand scheme of American craft beer, we're up there with Anchor and Steam as far as being traditional, right, as far as the year. But, like you said, with Orval in 1934, hops have always been a big part of Northwest Belgium in particular and assertive in their own ways.
So I know you guys you're importing and repping some of your beers around the city and around the country. What are some of the places that serve Poppering's Hommel?
Right now in New York specifically, I can tell you Ginger Man has Poppering's Hommel on tap. I actually stopped off to grab a couple of bottles on the way in at Brooklyn Beer in Williamsburg. There are a few places that you can find around the city that'll rotate it in, like Kirk with Third Avenue Ale House and Amsterdam Ale House will bring it in, and Matt at Valhalla will have it in. So a lot of the beer bars around New York City like to have it in. And right now, from what I'm hearing of people who are bringing in the kegs, especially the thing about this kind of beer and any hop beer really is you want the freshness of the hops to come through. You want the beer to be able to shine. And we've been able to get the inventory coming in on a regular basis so that the kegs that are coming in are really fresh kegs. So you can really get that brightness of the beer that you couldn't get if it was sitting around for 6 months to a year. So right now the kegs that you're getting, if you find Poppering's Hommel on draft, order it. Just if you see that thing on the menu on a draft list, you got to grab that, because right now it's the freshest you're going to see in the U.S., that you've seen in 5 years probably.
Nathan, talking about fresh, what did you bring us? This is stuff that you just bottled recently? Are you doing bottle conditioning?
No, it's bottle conditioned. Everything is. The one that we're pouring right now is Kaplan, which was that came out, I think, back in February. Called it an Imperial Bronze Ale, again, barrel-aged with morels. Morel mushrooms were thrown into the barrels, again, kind of a dry hopping sort of thing, but with morels.
What kind of flavor do they impart? I guess typically mushrooms are going to give you an earthiness.
That was the idea. Yeah, was to it's the beer is kind of similar to maybe like a Belgian double or double, however you prefer to say it. And so I kind of, the idea was to originally have a beer like that and kind of impart some earthy aromatics to it.
And you were saying all your beers are barreled. I'm just smelling a lot of oak. And is this also bourbon?
It is. Okay. Yep. Yeah, everything basically goes through.
Let's make a toast, you guys. Thanks for everybody coming out. Cheers. Patrick, a few more things. So Fool's Gold, what's on draft tonight?
Oh, fuck. We're doing a lot of Nagasi beers on tonight because it's the we're doing a launch. Like, we held off for a week or so, and there's a lot of transit problems with Nagasi stuff. And so we're putting on 11 beers from Nagasi at each bar, the Jeffrey Alewife and Fool's Gold tonight. So apart from that, I got the wrong XX on. I got a lot of good beer. Right. I do all three beer lists at all three bars, so trying to remember which one's on at which place is a nightmare.
So I know when you were at Rattle and Hum, you were real hands-on with the kegs. So how do you do with three bars?
I wake up earlier.
Do you guys should go to each bar each day? And
yeah, I do. I start with Alewife usually around 7, 7.30, and whatever beer is kicked the night before. I clean my lines. Every time a keg kicks, I clean the line. I've been doing that for years. My dad taught me that as a kid, working in his bar. And so my wife Roz runs Alewife. She's pretty good at doing all that. And then each manager at each bar does this. I just pick the beer list and I order all the kegs for all the places, and I run around and make sure all the lines are clean, do tests on them, and then just do staff trainings and, you know, make sure people know their stuff about beer. And
so tell us about your I saw on Father's Day you posted a picture of your dad.
Did.
So did you grow up working with your father?
Yeah, I'm fourth generation bar owner now, and so is my brother. But I grew up in the bar industry all my life, like since I remember stocking shelves and cleaning lines as a kid. And that picture was it's me and dad. I was a competitive swimmer, and that was when we were at the All-Ireland Championships, and it was a long time ago. Trying to piece it together. I forgot about the show today. I can't remember yesterday, so trying to remember that. Hold on.
All right, man. But let's do a quick talk around. So we're talking about Belgian beers. What beer do you like the most tonight, Brendan?
I'm partial to Taras Boba. That's kind of my go-to. I stateside, it's Cart and Boat for the session beer, and then you know if I'm going long distance, it's Taras Boba.
Right. Patrick, what about you?
My Desert Island beer is the Ronk XX, but I haven't had a chance to try everything else. But this Old Fecker, the IPA, the barrel aged IPA, was pretty damn sweet. It was warm. It was like a cask condition beer, which I'm a massive fan of cask ale. And I think that one, you know, it's different for me. I never really had rose petals in an IPA before. I don't think so.
Yeah, no, it's a totally different style. So you're calling it rustic, Nathan, but it's more just like innovative.
Innovative is a great word for that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, yeah, that's a big part of what I do. I try to think of things that I haven't seen before. That's very basic, you know.
Man, what would rustic beer be? Who wants to say? Is it like twigs in there? You know what I mean?
There might be. Very well may be.
I think it's the same thing as like in food. Honest ingredients, man. Just keeping it simple. Letting the things that you
old
use
recipes
come forth.
Kind of.
You know, let everything that you're brewing come forth and shine. And
nothing too technical, Brendan.
Nothing too technical. To jump in quickly, though, this has so much potential with food. Just because, you know, if you're talking about like your foraging ingredients, you got morel mushrooms, I would love to have this with a mushroom dish.
Foraging, that's rustic right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Solved. Next.
Forage beer.
Pick it out of the dirt.
Yeah.
That's rustic.
All right. And you gentlemen, you got Pop Rings on, but you have other Belgian beers too, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about hoppy Belgian beers, I mean, the two that pop in the mind right now are the Troubadour Magma, which is, you know, American IPA influenced with the Galaxy Hop, and we also have the Paratre Blop that just actually hit the market this year and is actually just in New York coming out this month. So that's one that you're going to start seeing in draft and bottle.
What was the last one?
The Parat Triple Hop. So Parat beer, if people are not familiar with it, is a beer made by Van Steenberg Brewery. They also make Golden Drock. It's a 10.5 ABV beer, really nice, strong golden. It's actually a triple in style. The Triple Hop is using the same base of the Parat, but pitching four different styles of hops three different times in the brewing process. And you get a really nice quality to it. And it's dangerous because Belgians don't really like to expand on the same name like American breweries, you know, that make everything under the same title. But having something like the Triple Hop is actually really nice to have a variety to go off of what's already a really known, really liked beer. It's going to do really well. We're really excited about it. So if you see it out there, grab a Parat Triple Hop and crack one open.
All right. Let's just finish up. We've got Ciderwick this weekend at Jimmy's Number 43. Patrick, what's going on at your bars this weekend?
I have Nagasi all week. We're doing a Simon tap today at 4:20. Well, it's already gone by for all three bars, 10 taps at each bar. Next one, we got Victory with Bill Kobolewski. We're doing a party bus from the three bars, 10 Victory beers at each bar on the 26th. Tickets are on the website.
All right. So we got July Good Beer Month coming up. We'll have more on that next week. And a shout out again to our friends at Coney Island on Tap. We're doing a special event July 12th at the Brooklyn Cyclone Park in Coney Island. So check that out, Coney Island on Tap. All right, it's been a good show. We were talking about a lot of things. Brendan, congratulations. Good luck with the Master Cicerone. I know it's tough.
Thank you. Hopefully they don't make me pour beer while I'm writing my essays.
I hope they recorded or listened to the recording today. They were like, that guy passed.
Patrick, you should be the judge. You'd be good.
That'd be
man,
nice.
Man, I'd take under the table or pass out any day.
Just like FIFA. Yeah.
I learned from FIFA.
Well, I'd like to thank our sponsors. That, it's soccer season. Last time, 4 years ago, we had the Shelton Brothers on playing Vuvuzelas from South Africa. So this is a pretty tame crowd for the World Cup. And yeah. You guys want to say anything about the World Cup?
Belgium won, so for us, that's great.
Yeah, congratulations to Belgium.
It was a little dicey. And USA, which is the best.
Well, I'm very happy with Netherlands. I've brewed up on tap, so I'm pretty happy. They're doing good.
So we'll see. When you listen to this, you'll probably know who won the World Cup. But I'd like to thank our sponsors at greatbrewers.com who helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Thanks to Nathan, Brendan, Patrick, Shahan, and Dan for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Thanks to our producers, Maggie Seiden and Justin Kennedy. And engineer tonight, Joe Galarraga. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.